He's the fine columnist for USA Today, covering college football as the season nears. You can see what he's up to in the red section of the paper. Visit usatodayonline.com. Actually, it's the other way around. It's usatoday.com online. On Twitter, the handle is at George Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, how are you doing on this middle of August Wednesday?
I am good. How are you?
All is good. I know it's not your passion, but over the weekend, pretty big event in the world of sports seemed to captivate a lot of people. Were you busy? Were you out and about? Did you catch any of the final round of the PGA Championship from St. Louis?
I caught the final round, most of it. You're talking about the Tiger Invitational that was on, on CBS?
Yeah, the one that the ratings only went up 70% because he was in the hunt.
Absolutely. But what was amazing was, and look, we all know what Tiger Woods does for ratings and for interest in golf. It's just off the charts, and it maybe is more compelling now than it was when he was at the height of his career, when he was just the most dominant guy in the world. There was something really interesting to me the other day, Steve, about seeing Tiger not as the golf bot out there. The golf bot was Brooks Koepka, who just kept machining his way down the course.
Yep.
And it was just, you know, but it's riveting theater to watch Tiger. By the way, missed almost every single fairway and still put together a 64 in a front nine. It was unbelievable. And it leads you to think, hey, maybe he could do this. Maybe he can actually win another major. I don't know, but it was riveting, riveting stuff.
No, absolutely. Getting back to football, and in no way do I mean to make light of the situations that are taking place at Ohio State and obviously Maryland. George, in a lot of ways, when this stuff happens, doesn't it make you long for something as simple as like a quarterback competition at Alabama or who replaces Saquon Barkley at running back at Penn State?
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, both of those things are out there on the horizon and the things to write about. And I'm actually going to go write about the quarterbacks at Alabama next week at some point. But even better than that, Steve, is kickoffs on its way, and then we don't have. Then we can write about who wins the quarterback competition, Saquon Barkley's replacement actually performs, whether or not Trace McSorley, the Penn State quarterback, can get it done without it. I mean, so real quick here, we're 10 days out from from what they call 0 week, where there's sort of like a prelude to college football with sort of a shortened slate. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday, and we're 2.5 weeks out from everybody being on the you know, getting it cranked up, and I cannot wait. It's going to be unbelievably good.
So, George, you posted a story yesterday about Maryland. Obviously, it's a horrible situation. Jordan McNair, a young man dying for gut-wrenching reasons, led to the departure of the strength coach Rick Court. You know, we followed the press conference yesterday with President Lowe, but like we discussed last week with Urban Meyer, I mean, this, I'm just a coach. Is there any way you see the dust settling and Maryland still has DJ Durkin as his coach?
No, and that's, I wrote a column, it's in today's print edition. Please go pick it up, or 10 of them. And it's online, too, at usatoday.com. But please go pick up the print edition. And I'm kidding a little bit, but only a little. And basically, here's the deal. With the strength coach out and with those guys joined at the hip, because let's be honest, when you're a new coach, you bring in your own strength coach about 90% of the time, maybe more. And then you talk about how he's going to implement the culture change that is so necessary and that you want. And that's exactly what DJ Durkin did. With Rick Court, the strength coach, now out. He resigned, but it was clearly under pressure. He was going to get fired at some point. DJ Durkin has to be the next guy to go. Now, when I say next to go, there are a couple of athletic trainers who apparently made egregious errors in assessing and treating Jordan McNair, the offensive lineman who died, when he struggled and apparently had a heat stroke on May 29th. So they may be the actual next to go. But my point was, DJ Durkin is done. and he needs to be.
Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Yeah, you mentioned Lowe used some of the right words, egregious mistakes, accepting legal and moral responsibility. And I think you used the phrase in your article, owning up. Well, you mentioned May 29th. Did we need to see a member of that athletic department out there or administration a lot earlier than August 14th?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was 63 days, I think. Is that right? After the, it was, you know, basically 2 months after he passed away. I think 63
right.
days. Yes, probably so. But let's go a couple places here. One, I thought what they actually said in the press conference, starting with President Lowe, was this astonishing, and I don't know if the word is refreshing, because we're talking about the death of a young man, but
right.
Encouraging to hear is anything we've heard in a situation, anything like this in a long time, in that they had just been to Baltimore to visit the young man's parents and family. They had apologized to them, and they had accepted and were doing this now publicly, legal and moral responsibility. That's a quote from President Wallace Lowe, which basically means, yep, we are basically saying we have no case here. We understand litigation is coming, and we are not trying to fight it. We're just accepting responsibility. Which, when was the last time you heard that? Even if a guy wanted to apologize, you're counseled not to apologize because of the potential for litigation. So I was really happy with what they said. All right, that's the first thing. The second thing, though, is, as you mentioned, it's 2 months later. Why is this the first time we've really heard from them other than a couple of statements? And I think I could answer that from Maryland's perspective, one of which is we've got this ongoing investigation into the circumstances that led to Jordan McNair's death, and now we are reached a point where we feel like we can tell you, it's not done yet, but we know this much, and so we can say this much, and we understand we have responsibility. All that to say, would they even have had that press conference, though, if not for the ESPN reports about the wider allegations of an abusive culture in the football program that came out last Friday? And I think the answer is no. We still wouldn't have had that.
No, I agree, and that's kind of what disturbs most people. And, George, when something like this happens, as cliche as it is, like you wrote, you know, everybody needs to take a breath, see what steps need to be taken. You know, I guess at this point it's the shutting of the gate after the horse gets out. But, you know, there's still this macho, gutted out, tough guy, no pain, no gain mentality that still exists. It just seems to me that even though there's been progress made, man, sometimes that provides a barrier that's tough to overcome.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't even know. I mean, at this point, I don't even really know what to say. It's just the whole situation is so terrible, Steve, and that's the thing that sometimes we lose sight of as we talk about this is, you know, there's no way to ever make up for what happened or to make it right. There's no way. And so the whole thing is so terrible, I have a hard time just talking about it, frankly.
Oh, of course, you know, what you've been through with your son and what he had to overcome, and, you know, knock on wood, all is well. You know, I just had our second grandchild. I mean, when you think about putting yourself in that situation, it's unfathomable. I just think you're right. But I you never know what's going to be the turning point. So like you wrote, our coaches, the people you speak with, are they going to take stock, evaluate their culture? You know, heaven forbid to prevent another awful circumstance like this.
Well, I hope so, and it's a good opportunity to do that, Steve. I mean, if you're not, first of all, we should all examine ourselves, you know, regularly to make sure that we're doing the right things. But if you're running an organization, then let's just stick with athletic directors who run departments, athletic departments, and coaches who run college football programs. If these types of scandals don't cause you to say, all right, I think we're doing things the right way, but I need to double check. Let's run a kind of a check of ourselves. Then I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what to tell you, because I think it automatically ought to do that. And I'm going to say this too. My guess is there are guys who, with these two scandals, have immediately thought to themselves, we got this situation and that situation. We better figure out how to get this cleaned up. I'm guessing that's going on in some places, too.
Sure.
But even if it's not, you got to self-examine.
All right, George.
Or even if you think it doesn't.
No, I know what you mean. And, you know, the problem is we wake up tomorrow and you almost are afraid to click open your laptop. I know this is crazy, but I guess we could actually talk about some football. Chris Lowe of ESPN reports that Clemson and LSU have scheduled a home-and-home series. I saw you mention it on Twitter. Oregon the next 2 years plays Ohio State here and in Columbus. And, you know, those neutral site non-conference games, we're going to get Auburn and Washington, the games at Jerry's World, they're great, but can anything really compare to a fan base getting to see Michigan or another fan base going on the road to see their team at, you know, Doak Walker Stadium? I mean, how much do you love the actual home and home at a conference?
That's what it's about, man. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, when Oregon went to Michigan back in 2007 and frankly stomped all over them, and Dennis Dixon ran the fake Statue of Liberty. But the Ducks at the Big House, they kind of announced themselves as back on the scene in that game, was one of the cooler spectacles I've ever seen. And when you see Notre Dame playing at Texas or those kinds of games that we don't, you know, look, there are great home-and-home rivalries in all these conferences, okay, but the non-conference intersectional matchups are what it's all about. And that's why, who is it? It's Florida State and somebody announced a home and home the other day. Who is it? Is it Florida State and LSU? And it's like in New Orleans and Orlando or something?
I have to double check on that.
Whoever it is, it was just like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just go home and home? But this Clemson and LSU home and home is tremendous. And to Clemson's credit, they've done that with several people. They just finished a series with Auburn home and home that was, you know, that's pretty cool stuff. That's what college football is about. And all these athletic directors who are so concerned, and they are, and rightly so, about filling the seats now. I mean, attendance is a problem across all the sports, but it's certainly true also with college football. You can't really afford to, like, give up a home game, put it at a neutral site. And when I say afford, you absolutely can in some ways, because you end up with a payday. But to me, it's part of the pageantry of college football, and if you want your home slate to be set up and you want those season tickets to be filled out, you've got to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, by the way, LSU and Clemson is 2025-2006, and like you said, the LSU-Florida State looks like 2022, maybe 2022 and 2023. But like you were saying, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, but my wife always talks about when Michigan came here in 2003, I was like a little kid. I was like, I'm going to get to see Michigan at a stadium. I had never done that, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. So yeah, I'm totally on board with you there.
No, it's a really cool thing. The home and home intersectional big non-conference games are just tremendous. Hey, look, Nick Saban has made a living on those neutral site games.
Yeah.
And good for him. But you know who's lost out on that deal? Are the fans in Alabama and the fans at the other schools. Now, they've got a game with Texas, a series with Texas home and home set up for some time in the future, but which is cool. So good for them. But I'm hopeful more people will A, schedule good games, and B, schedule them home and home, not at neutral sites.
You know, as we count down to the season, obviously, you know, we know how things turn over now, especially coach-wise. So Scott Frost, going back to the scene of his great playing triumphs, I saw today Tom Osborne said he has saved the sellout streak in Lincoln and lifted the whole state. I'm still getting confused with Maryland and Nebraska's Big Ten teams, and the Huskers haven't been to a major since 2001. They won four games last year. And we know the turnaround he engineered at Central Florida. But now at a Power 5 school, what's reasonable to expect with Frost with the Huskers year one?
I think reasonable is the key here, because for years and years, the Husker fans have probably not been reasonable. But
yeah,
they finally figured, and I'm not trying to be funny, really not, but their expectations have been back to the glory years when they, before Alabama, they were the last real dynasty. I mean, USC maybe almost got there, but back in the mid-90s, Nebraska was the last college football dynasty in my mind, and Scott Frost was one of the guys that led them to one of those titles. But the college football landscape has shifted so much that I think the idea that Nebraska is going to be one of the perennial powers like they were in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s, I think those days are done. I think the recruiting landscape has shifted. Everybody's on TV every week. Everybody's got tremendous facilities. Nebraska used to be on TV every week, and they used to have tremendous facilities, and nobody else was on TV and had the facilities. And so, to me, the fact that there are not many recruits in their, within a 300 or 400 mile radius, limits them. All that said, they're in the Big Ten West. I think the fans have figured out we can be the best in the West. Wisconsin's essentially using our formula to be the best in the West. And if you can get there, then you got kind of a one-shot deal to get in the playoff most years. So what's reasonable? I think that's reasonable. I think people believe that that's achievable and that they would be happy with that. And I think it is achievable. I think Scott Frost is going to do a tremendous job there. I don't know what to expect this year. They're going to have patience. I think they will. But I think Scott, we all got to know to some degree when he was at Oregon as an assistant with Chip Kelly. I think he'll do a tremendous job. What he did at UCF in two seasons is fantastic. I mean, they were 0-12 the year before he got there.
Yep, amazing.
He made them immediately competitive and then put together that crazy great season that ended in the national. Oh, never mind, it wasn't a national championship, but.
Banners and rings aside, is that what you're trying to say?
Banners, rings, and bobbleheads aside, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that Nebraska team, 94, 95, 97, three titles in 4 years, like you said.
Well, they're the last true dynasty. I mean, USC was on the cusp and couldn't get the extra one. Had they beaten Texas in that great game, Vince Young,
yep,
beat them, they would have had 30-something straight wins going into the next year and might have won another one or two, but that proved to be the beginning of the end for them. They were real close, but Nebraska, up until Alabama, in my mind, is the last true dynasty.
Absolutely. Folks, he's George Schroeder on Twitter, at George Schroeder, USAtoday.com, or like he said, go buy 8 or 10 copies of the paper. Believe me, the business could use the jolt.
Yeah.
George.
Please buy 8 or 10 copies of the Register Guard while you're at it. Thank you.
All right. George, always a pleasure. Good stuff. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy.